Blog Talk Radio.
Thanks for tuning in to Fire Engineering Talk Radio. Each week, our host will introduce you to a various cast of characters you'll only find here. Each host will share experience, knowledge, and expertise regarding their years in the fire service, allowing you to call in and speak with them live, an experience you can only find on Fire Engineering Talk Radio. So thanks for joining us. Enjoy and stay safe.
Welcome to CrossFit for Fire Radio. This is Ed Hatfield talking to you. Hey, today we're going to kind of swing back around and bring the show back around. We're going to be talking about some nutrition and stuff. Last couple shows, we've had an opportunity to talk about programming, various aspects of programming and some of the functional movements, but we want to bring it back around and talk a little bit more about nutrition. I do want to send out an apology. Recently, we haven't been able to get to a lot of the Facebook stuff and the blog site as much as we would like to provide you guys with more information. We've been pretty busy out here taking care of a lot of other related issues, and so we'll talk a little bit about that more later on in the show. But I do want to talk a little bit about kind of what's going on, and that's the movement within the fire service to create a healthier, more powerful, impactful fire service athlete. And there's a lot of great work that's being done. As a matter of fact, the American Public Health Association, it has been conducting various lectures and seminars related to specifically to firefighter health and obesity-related issues. In fact, the firefighter obesity research and workplace assessment to reduce the disease has an upcoming meeting in San Francisco. It's the 104th and 140th annual meeting and exposition of the American Public Health Association located in San Francisco on October 27th through the 31st. One of the interesting things that will be presented is some work by a number of PhDs that are working with University of California in Irvine, which is in Orange County, California. And they are part of the Center for Occupational and Environmental Health program. And these PhDs are looking at specifically firefighter perspectives on occupational and behavioral causes of obesity. It's a qualitative study. So let me repeat that. It's a firefighter perspectives on occupational and behavioral causes on obesity. It's interesting because one of the things that they have done is they took a small study group, and really it's not a study group, it's a focus group. They took a small focus group. There were four groups in total of 20 firefighters, so about 80 firefighters total, if my math is correct, of all ranks, of firefighters, engineers, company officers, captains, battalion chiefs. And all of these firefighters are from one of the larger organizations in Orange County. I'm sure you can figure out which one it is. And one of the things they talked about is the firefighters responded to the questionnaires candidly with ideas about the causes of the high rates of obesity among them. I mean, let's go back in time and talk about some of the things. Firefighters are at least one-third more obese than the national average of the American public. The national average American public is 37% more obese than we were in the 1970s. We have an obesity epidemic in the fire service. And these firefighters, speaking candidly, came up with an analysis that revealed five main themes of central importance to firefighters. The first, and I don't think this is any surprise to anybody, is it's the culture. It's our culture. Our culture is based around food. We plan our meals or plan our days around the meal, because that's where a lot of our morale, that's where a lot of our camaraderie, that's where a lot of our esprit de corps occurs, is around the meal. And that's a cultural issue. When you look at various cultures that pepper themselves throughout the United States, one will find that a majority of communication and, more importantly, connection occurs during the meal. It's very difficult to not be yourself during that time frame. So the culture of eating was number one. Secondly, sleep interruption. Now, that's a hormonal issue, because as we continue to create hormonal imbalances within our system, the body begins to react differently and places itself under stress. And we know what happens when the body is under stress. Inherently, the body begins to store fat because it's under stress. It perceives that it's under attack and that it needs that extra fat for energy and survival. There's a lot more clinical and definitive way that I could talk about that, but nonetheless, I wanted to say that. Third is leadership and physical fitness. Now, this is interesting because I'm going to spend a moment here. Recently, I had the opportunity to attend a seminar with Tony McQuirk, who was the fire chief in Merseyside, England, United Kingdom, one of the areas that his organization protected was Liverpool. And one of the things that he did in his organization, he did a number of very innovative things. Now, a lot of people will look at what he did and say, oh, my God, this guy just, you know, completely, you know, destroyed a fire department, because he really looked at the data and broke down the data that was necessary to achieve sustainable levels of service in his community. And anybody in the fire service of today has to embrace the idea of innovation. And we'll talk a little bit more about what he did. But one of the most important things that he did was that the mantra, and this is a change, the mantra was not to protect lives, save property, you know, clean up the environment. Or in America, it's save lives, mitigate the emergency, and protect property. That's not the mantra. The mantra was to create a better and healthier, more educated, safer community. Think about that. Create a better, healthier, more educated, safer community. And one of the ways that he did that was that he encouraged, as the fire chief, he encouraged active physical fitness participation from his firefighters with people in the community. Kids in particular, kids in the community, people in the community, whatever it may be. In fact, even to the point that when they rebuilt or built a new fire stations, and he had a very large organization, about 1,800 firefighters initially, when they rebuilt fire stations or built a new fire stations, one of the things that they provided was community access to the physical fitness area. So you would have people working out at the fire station. Now, I know there's a lot of people out there right now that are, you know, that's blasphemy. I mean, that's our fire station. You know, what if they come in the locker room and steal our wallets and all of that stuff? Well, come on, let's really get real here. I mean, let's really hit the brass tack. Whose fire station is it? It's the community's. It's not yours. Unless you live in that community, unless you live down the street and you pay the taxes, that's not your fire station. In fact, it's not the fire department's fire station. It's not even the city's fire station. Belongs to the community. Okay? That's first thing to understand. Second thing to understand is that fire station is totally accessible to the community. Therefore, it becomes a community-based fire service delivery system. Let me repeat that. Community-based fire service delivery system. So if we firmly believe, if we're passionate, and we embrace the idea of community-based fire service, and we want to be proactive, then the predictive model allows us to say, okay, here's the situation. My particular community fire station serves a general populace in which one of the highest call volumes that we go on for EMS is diabetes-related. Diabetes management requires people to have some type of fitness, you know, fitness exercise or fitness programming. But that person can't go to the gym, doesn't belong to LA Fitness, doesn't drive or whatever the case may be. Well, why not provide somewhere on the fire station grounds, whether it's outside, inside, adjacent to, or whatever, some small fitness area? Now, we're all talking about CrossFit, right? How minimalist is that? Okay, so next to the station on one of the sidewalls, you put some pull-up bars, some kettlebells, you put some rubber matting, you put a set of rings out there, and you know, maybe a couple medicine balls that you got to bring in every night. How hard is that? And are we doing our job as firefighters to create a healthier, more educated, safer community? Is that proactive and predictive, or is that continue to remain in the responsive state that we are in and continue to be in, that is completely unsustainable into the near future? And we have to start thinking about things from a different perspective. So leadership must embrace firefighter fitness. But in addition to embracing firefighter fitness, we should be embracing firefighter fitness as a component of our community-based fire service outreach into our community. I've heard it a lot, and I've seen it, and I've even been a party to it, where the formal leadership of the organization will not allow firefighters to go to a local fitness facility. Why? What are you afraid of? You let them go to the grocery store, you let them go into people's houses at 3:00 in the morning. Why can't they go to a local fitness facility? Now, I know there's a lot of different things. You know, you have to have a membership, release of liabilities, and so on and so forth. There's the potential that if they're working out, they may miss a call. I understand all that. So, okay, well, then let's provide them with a physical fitness equipment, proper equipment, proper training, and proper programming and meal planning and that in the fire station. Well, we don't have the room. Okay, well, we don't have the room. What do we need to do? We need to come up with innovative solutions that have a return on that investment. And part of that innovative solution is if we have healthy, fit firefighters that are encouraged to go out into the community in which they serve and actively participate in community health events, organizations, education, and prevention, then we are doing our job as fire service leaders to create what? A proactive community-based fire service. Now, here's the interesting thing. Turn on any TV channel that shows a football game on Monday, Thursday, or Sunday, and what do you have? You have a commercial that's called, what, Play 60, the NFL? How many, truly, let me ask all of you this. How many professional football teams load up a school bus full of fire or full of football players and go get a bunch of kids from underrepresented or inner city areas and take them to the park and they play for an hour? None. Who's kidding who here? Okay. But we have firefighters that are in those communities, those underrepresented, right, underprivileged, at-risk youth. We have firefighters that are in those communities 365 days, 7 days a week, who can go outside their fire station and actively participate in some level of fitness activity with those kids to help reduce childhood obesity, to help reduce the likelihood of type 2 diabetes, to help create a healthier environment, to help provide for a safe environment for these children to actively participate in physical fitness activities. All we got to do is think outside the box. All we got to do is think outside the box. We'll talk about that more later. Leadership and physical fitness. Number four, sedentary work. Okay. I'm probably going to get, like, you know, hate mail over this, but let's face it. The fire department is not a physically demanding job 90% of the time. 90% of the time, it's not a very physically demanding job. I don't care where you work. Okay, you can work in the busiest companies in the world, and, you know, you're tired at the end of the day because you've done things, but it's not that physically demanding ongoing. Okay, being a steel worker, digging ditches, you know, working on a farm, I mean, that's much different scenario. Much of the time we are working, but it is not that ongoing, beat you down, physically demanding. Okay, when we do work, it is beyond extraordinarily demanding. When we are doing what we are paid to do, trained to do, need to do, it is one of the most physically demanding jobs there ever can be. And that's why the preparatory phase leading up to that is so important. But yet, ongoing, day to day, if we were to break it down and look at the data, which is what we need to start doing, it's a sedentary position, particularly if you're in the upper ranks, company officer, chief officer, or on up. Number five. Aging and generational differences. Let's face it, this is something that the state of California is going to be dealing with now with we have the new pension reform. The new pension reform has changed much of the ability for firefighters to retire at the age of 50 or even 55 to a 57 age breakover. Okay, I can tell you right now, and I feel that I'm in pretty good physical condition at 49 years old. You know, it takes me a little bit longer to get up in the morning, and takes me a little bit longer to recover, and it takes me a little bit longer to move through the day. At 57 years old, we're going to start seeing, and Governor Brown already stated it, we're going to see a significant spike in workers' comp injuries. So, oh, great, okay. Firefighters can't retire at 50 or 55. We're going to make, you know, the retirement 57 years old. But of those, we are going to see a tremendous spike in what? Workers' compensation injuries. Unless we actively, aggressively, proactively, because this is a predictive model, we can predict this. This is predictive. And as Gordon Graham says, if it's predictable, it's preventable. If we and the leadership embrace stronger physical fitness policies, meal planning, nutritional counseling, opportunities for rehabilitation and mobility, then we will see a lessening in those what are projected as and forecasted as workers' compensation injuries as a result of the changes. So, you know, these are some of the interesting things that are coming out. The other component to this is the findings of this initial report strongly suggest a interrelationship between occupational and behavioral causes and implications that will be discussed as future intervention. Very interesting study. If you get an opportunity, again, presentations and findings, firefighter perspectives on occupational and behavioral causes of obesity will be presented at the APHA annual meeting in 2012, and that is in San Francisco, October 27th through the 23rd. Now, another thing that we want to talk about, and that is when we look at what the idea is of this work. One of the things that we need to recognize is that our schedule creates a lot of our problems. You know, the average energy expenditure from physical fitness activity on a workday at any given time was somewhere about 677 calories. The physical activity levels of a workday was higher on that than on their off days. So, okay, we are working harder on our days at work than we are at, on our days off. Okay, what's that telling me? Okay, well, if you work a normal shift schedule and you work 10 days a month, that means that that sedentary lifestyle that we have at work is more active than on our days off. We have greater days off than we do work, so therefore we're burning more calories at work and less calories on our days off, and that creates an issue. And why does that create an issue? Because, relatively speaking, is if you're not doing something on your days off to change that behavior, you are going to see a steady increase in your obesity levels. So it's really important for us to try and get our minds around this and trying to grasp this as much as we can. Another couple things I want to talk about, and that is where we are as a fire service, and what are some of the things that should be being discussed at the executive officer level for the future. Now, we talk about sustainable cost in the fire service. Sustainable cost in the fire service means can we continue to provide a particular level of service deliverables to a community, and if we do so, what is it going to cost over a period of time? Well, we know that there's a built-in structural deficit into all of our deliverables. And we also know that unless we address certain costs associated with the sustainability of these programs and deliverables, that at some point in time, no matter whether or not you reduce cost or service levels or increase fees, the projected cost of sustaining the particular service deliverable will outpace both of those factors. So what do we have to do? We have to reduce the sustainable cost of the service deliverable. And one of the areas that we can do that is by reducing the amount of sick leave that is used, which reduces the amount of overtime that is distributed, which also we have to look at the amount of time off associated to workers' compensation injuries, and that's just one area. But see, those are predictable models, and those are relatively preventable as well. We recognize that if we have a healthier, better conditioned workforce, they will use less what? Sick leave. We realize that if we provide them with active levels of recovery, rehabilitation, mobility, we increase their levels of flexibility, range of movement. We provide them with functional exercises, provide them with good, solid meal planning. Then what happens? Healthier, better conditioned, thus reducing the amount of workers' compensation injuries. Are we going to completely eliminate it? Not at all. But we will have an opportunity to reduce it. So if we were to look at a couple of the key things, and one of them is to talk about what's going on in the fire service, firefighters are among the occupations with the highest prevalence of obesity, despite the fact that they are considered to be one of the more active among the 41 male occupational groups. And that was a study done in 2010. With that being said, despite, you know, the high obesity prevalence among firefighters, studies of firefighters and obesity have tended to focus on the association between not only the obesity, but also the other behavioral risk factors that bring about obesity in firefighters, such as what, you know, high blood pressures, blood sugars, diabetes, so on and so forth. So one of the things that we recognize is that not only do we have firefighters that are overweight or obese, and the associated factors of that related to workers' compensation injuries, mainly in the orthopedic range. But now they're dealing with what? Man-made physical sicknesses, such as high blood pressures, blood lipid profiles, type 2 diabetes, cancers, and all of those types of sicknesses that also create a higher propensity of workers' compensation and higher medical cost. Here's an interesting fact. Do you realize that in the United States, we spend more money on health care for underserved, indigent people in the United States, Medi-Cal, Medicare, various other forms of governmental assistance health care, than we do on education? Known fact. Government Services Association from D.C. put out the numbers. More money is spent on health care for indigent people than is on education. Well, I think if we start educating people, we can spend less money on health care, and that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to stop people from becoming obese, because if we can educate them on the downsides of that, then we can provide for a healthier workforce that allows us to spend less money in the healthcare industry. Couple things here that we talk about. When you start talking about, do adverse working conditions increase the risk of obesity? What's your opinion? Do you believe that the type of working conditions, shift work, long working hours, high job stress, low leadership support, do these have an effect on the risk of obesity? And so when you look at that, the working conditions of firefighters are virtually unique among the working population because of what? 24-hour work schedules, the type of organizational hierarchy, the type of routine-based activities that occur in the firehouse, and then the interruption of calls and the types of calls and the sleep deprivation and stuff like that. So does that have an effect on our obesity? All clinical indications say yes. We are at a higher propensity for obesity just because of the type of work scheduling that we have. What are some of the other things that create this? Well, we talked about them earlier, but one of the things is how could working conditions of firefighters increase the risk of obesity? Well, a lot of this has to do with your emotional demands and stress, okay, and how you handle that. Again, hormonal. When we talk about the hormonal aspects, not only from just job stress or job strain, but, also what it is from the sleep interruption, the type of adrenaline rushes that we get going to calls, the variance between slow and busy fire stations, the number of calls that we run, the type of calls that we run. Firefighters generally are going to be, more obese in the slower stations than the busy stations, but a lot of that may have to do with the work-related activity. However, in the busier stations where the sleep disruption is higher and the ability for them to develop good eating habits and to have a routine, a fitness and conditioning routine, and to be able to prepare healthy meals is so dysfunctional that what ends up happening is that it's just as stressful, it's just as bad as the slower stations. It's only creating obesity problems in a different variant. You know, one of the things that we have to look at is that, you know, when people look at what we do, you know, a lot of things have said that, you know, one of the strongest predictors of job dissatisfaction and poor work morale in paramedics is the high intra and intergroup conflict was a risk factor for depression. So how are we managing the health of our firefighters, the mental health of our firefighters in the fire station? I can only speak from experience is that when you actively participate in physical activities as a team, as a group, then you tend to have what? Less stressors. We, you know, we all deal with other people. We have to live within a community environment. And a lot of times we don't really necessarily like those people. Let's just hit the brass tack. So we can sit around and we can complain about it and muse about it and gripe and all that stuff and get ourselves all worked up, which is not doing anything healthy for us. It's creating an unhealthy environment. Or company officers, formalized leadership within the organization can do what? They can look at that and they can say, we need to get these people actively involved in some type of physical activity that creates what? Higher levels of morale, carries forth the momentum, and at the same time reduces stress, physical stress, which is going to reduce the association to obesity and potentially down the road lower our cost to workers' compensation claims. I mean, you can paint it any way you want, but the bottom line is that when people are unhappy and they're not working out and all they want to do is sit around and gripe about it, they're going to get fatter. I mean, you know, there's just no other way to put it. So a lot of these things are starting to come out now. And it's really about time that we start to talk about it. Now, does anybody want to go out there and say, you know what, we need to get rid of the 24-hour shifts? No. You know, that fight has been out there, and obviously certain people believe that, you know, it creates a problem. But from, from a standpoint of, is that going to go away? Probably not. But it's how we manage our 24-hour day. And one of the biggest things that I have seen in my career is that depending upon the formalized leadership in the organization, the importance of physical fitness, falls within the formal leadership of the organization. And I've seen, you know, formalized leadership say, physical fitness is A number one. I want you to get it done first thing in the morning if you can. If you can't, you know, I want it done in the afternoon. If you can't do it in the afternoon, I want it done, you know, later on in the day, but I do want it done. And I'm going to give you every opportunity to do it. But here's the key. You're going to do it. You're not going to go into the gym and put your earphones on and get on the recumbent bike and read a book. I mean, that's just ridiculous. And so, you know, then we've had the complete opposite of that, which is what? The chief officers that do what? Well, or I should say, you know, the formalized leadership says, you know, hey, you know, I don't pay you to be bodybuilders, so, you know, work out on your day off. You need to get your job done, and your workout will be at, you know, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Okay, well, part of the problem is that you have to look at really, you know, are people going to do it at 4 in the afternoon? You know, when are they most likely to perform the physical fitness activities? Obviously, it's going to be different based on every organization. But, you know, my opinion has been and always will be that the morning workout is going to be the best for the employees. And then we run into the whole, well, when you have lineup or shift exchange, I want everybody in their uniform. And, you know, I'm going to utilize a department that I think was very progressive and on the forefront on it, you know, long ago, and that was the city of Corona Fire Department. You know, their shift exchange occurred, I think, between 7:15 and 7:30, and they shift exchanged in PT gear, okay? You know, department-issued T-shirt, department-issued, you know, running shorts, tennis shoes and stuff. And they did their rig checks, and, of course, you know, somebody's out there going, well, what if you dropped a fire extinguisher on your toe and you're wearing, you know, tennis shoes? Well, then you should be fired because you're stupid. You know, anything can happen. There's too many what-ifs. But then they would immediately go from you know, solid apparatus checks to, you know, the daily plan to their PT. And by and large, by 9 o'clock in the morning, PT was done, and guys were cleaned up and ready to go and get the day started, and they worked through the day, and they're a very good department, and did very well. And they had, you know, relatively few overweight firefighters as a result. But that was something that came from the top down. It was a top-down mantra, and that's the same with Orange County Fire Authority when Chief Chip Prather was in charge. Physical fitness was a priority, and they had all the statistics to prove why it was important. Now, somebody wrote in on the blog, so I'm going to repeat it because I think it's true. I believe that an activity break and sleep triggers the brain to tell us we're hungry. In a busy house, calls throughout the night cause us to be hungry, stomach growling as if we're going back to sleep. So regardless of the health content in your food, you're bound to overeat. Make poor choices in food, and you're really in trouble. You're absolutely right. You are absolutely right. Sleep deprivation and sleep disruption plays a huge, huge role in it. And a lot of that is based upon the hormonal imbalance that's occurring. You know, some of the things that we have to look at is how are we managing our day so that we don't have a lot of these predictive patterns that create an unhealthy environment. One of the things that I would say is that organizationally we have to adopt a philosophy of fitness and conditioning as part of our strategic plan. And that fitness and conditioning is built into everything we do. We need to look at it from not only the mental health of our employees and the physical health of our employees, but part of the service delivery model that we provide to the community. In other words, we should be the role model. We should be the model citizens, and we should be the educational model that is presenting solid educational programs to the community from our community firehouses to the public on what? Obesity control, the negative effects of obesity, the positive effects on physical activity, community health issues related to obesity diseases, type 2 diabetes, high blood pressures, cardiovascular diseases, Alzheimer's, cancers, orthopedic injuries. Really, what should be occurring is in our community firehouses, as part of our community-based fire service, we should be providing educational programs and literature and discussions and opportunities out of our fire stations. Huge leap, huge leap. People are probably thinking I'm off my rocker, and I'm okay with that. But these are this is the direction, because if you look at healthcare reform and healthcare initiatives in America today, what are some of the things that we are talking about? We are talking about providing community health programs as part of our service deliverables in the United States Fire Service. And what is the number one issue facing America today? It is obesity. So enough of that. We've beaten that up pretty good. Let's talk about some other cool things. Let's talk about firefighters and CrossFit and what is going on in the CrossFit community that is directly related to what we're going to be doing in the fire service and how we are going to be getting better at what we do. Couple of the things, if you haven't caught it, Gary Taubes is at it again. In the October 2012 issue of the CrossFit Journal, he writes, what should we eat and why? Gary Taubes and Nusi aim to correct a decade-old problem by telling the world what to eat and backing up their recommendations with real science. So, in a nutshell, if you haven't read his book, best-selling author Gary Taubes, "Good Calories, Bad Calories, and Why We Get Fat," he's partnered with a doctor to launch a nonprofit organization that its goal is to slash the obesity rates in America by half and the prevalence of diabetes by 75% by 2025. That's huge. That's huge. And they're taking that on. Now, part of the issue is getting the American public to recognize that the food pyramid is a boondoggle. It's a boondoggle by the food and drug companies. Mainly the food companies and the drug companies in cahoots, trying to keep us fat and sick. There, I said it. Now I got my tin hat on. And really, when you look at some of the things that they're talking about, according to the World Health Organization, 2010, more than 40 million children under the age of 5 around the world were considered overweight. Wow. That's amazing. By 2020, the World Health Organization estimates that obesity will be the single biggest killer on the planet. And of those 40 million overweight children from 2010 who will be entering their teens, many of them will die. That's amazing. That's just absolutely amazing. Let me repeat that. 2010, according to the World Health Organization, 40 million children worldwide were overweight. By 2020, obesity will be the single biggest killer of those children entering their teens. That's unconscionable. How do we have this? So, when we look at some of this stuff, what are we looking at? What are we trying to do here? Well, that's where the American Fire Service really comes in. Is because I think through outreach, what we should be doing is instead of telling kids stop, drop, and roll, okay, which is the traditional fire service approach, crawl low under smoke, get out of the, okay, why not change the mantra to one where we spend 1/3 of our time talking to kids about healthcare issues related to making proper food choices so that we reduce the obesity in children and we reduce the number of children who are going to be directly negatively impacted by obesity issues. And then we spend 1/3 of our time spending time with those children, getting them out, getting them active, and showing them that exercise and fitness and functional fitness and that it can be done, and maybe even teaching them how to properly eat through proper meal planning sessions delivered at the community fire station. And then we spend 1/3 of our time on the fire service stuff. I mean, I don't know. I'd love to hear from everybody. But I believe that CrossFit for Fire, I believe that the American Fire Service, I believe that the American firefighter, more so than ever, has a greater responsibility to care for the health of our children. We have, and this was mentioned to me the other day, and I want everybody who's listening to listen to what is said. A community activist, a very well-respected community activist, somebody who spends a lot of time with at-risk youth, a tremendous amount of time with at-risk youth, said to me, he said these exact words. The community has never left the institution of the fire service, but the institution of the fire service has removed itself from the community. He said, as I walk by my fire station right down the street from my house, he says, it is a citadel, a bunker, and the firefighters never venture out to make contact with the community except for times when we dial 911. Now, what does that say about us? What does that say about the American fire service? And I ask you, drive by your local fire station. I drive by one every day. I drive by my local fire station every day. They're great firefighters. Don't get me wrong. They're fantastic firefighters. But I never see them out. I see their fire trucks parked behind the glass doors. Every once in a while, I see them out, checking a rig or something like that. But I never see them out unless they're going on a call. And I began to think about what this person from the community said, and it goes back to what I've said many, many, many years ago and continue to say. Fire chiefs, the leadership, the formal leadership, need to go out and knock on doors. Just walk around the neighborhood for the community that you serve and knock on doors. Say, hi, I'm the fire chief. Can I ask you what you expect from me? And the problem is they're afraid what they're going to hear. What they want is they want a relationship. Our communities want a relationship. They want to be connected with our fire departments. And in that connection, they're going to tell us what they want from us. And telling us what they want from us is far different than what we want to hear. And it's oftentimes far different than what we want to believe. When I had this conversation with this community member, I asked him, I said, if the fire department were to participate in community activities that took the youth of your community, and this happens to be an underserved area, took the youth of your community to a local park and just played Frisbee with them as a group and took time to talk to them about making healthy choices and took time to talk to them about the value of teamwork and that, what would occur? And he said it would be incredible. He said it's never been done, and it would be incredible for the kids of that community to have that type of relationship with the fire service. So I go back to the NFL, who's the play 60. Why can't the fire service be play 60? Why can't part of our day be situated around going to a park in our local area, parking the fire truck, we're still in service, getting a bag of Frisbees out and playing Frisbees with kids? I mean, are we really afraid? Are we really afraid that somebody's going to call and say, why are your firefighters playing Frisbees with kids? Because I can answer that one. Well, ma'am or sir, the reason our firefighters are in their community actively participating in physical fitness activities with children in their community is simple. The children in their community are facing an obesity epidemic, and that in America, obesity is one of the number one causes of childhood disease. And our firefighters are out there actively doing something to change that and make a positive impact on the lives of our children. Do you have any other questions? But, you know, that's not the normal thought. The normal thought is that, you know, go in your station, close the doors, create a citadel, and only come out when somebody dials 911. No longer going to be sustainable, folks. No longer going to be sustainable. We are going to have to change the way that we do things. So, let's talk a little bit about a few other things here. Let's go back to what's going on with CrossFit, and I want to talk about. And I wish that somebody would call in, because I'd really like to ask them, particularly somebody that I know who said he was going to call in. I'd really like to ask them about how we could utilize CrossFit programming in an effort to what? Prepare people to enter into the fire service. In other words, utilize it as a recruiting tool. All right. All of the fire departments across the United States, are facing the same battle. We're trying to get people in the fire service who have personal character, who have a strong will, who have the ability to be part of a team, who have the physical abilities to do the job, to make it through the academy and stuff like that. Well, let me ask you, how many fire departments are out there where they put a recruitment or an outreach team together and they say, I want you to go out to the local CrossFit regional games or CrossFit competition that's going on in your area, CrossFit throwdown or whatever it is. And I want you, Bob and Shirley, to go out there and recruit CrossFitters into the fire service. Why not? Why not? Because think about all that CrossFit does. Is it not a community? Yeah, it's a community. In fact, some people say it's a cult. I'm okay with that. It's a community. Does it inspire teamwork? Well, yeah, because a vast majority of our WADs are conducted as partners or teams. And I can tell you what, just watch the CrossFit games, and there's a huge camaraderie that goes on, a huge community effort. Are they physically fit? Yeah, that's okay. That's a given. Are those people that are actively participating at that level of CrossFit, do they have the ability, the drive, and the will to push through difficult circumstances? Yeah, try and do a sub-3 Fran. Okay, good. And are those people well-versed and educated? By and large, most of them are pretty well-read. They understand things. They're constantly seeking knowledge. They're self-directed learners. And they're trying to do things that better themselves and their community. Is that not the personal characteristics and the values that we are looking for in the fire service? And if we bring somebody in on the front end of the fire service that already has the understanding of conditioning, of fitness, of health, of nutrition, of mobility, and they not only get it, but they embrace it, then that's fewer people we have to change. So as we start to face a metamorphosis in the fire service where we're going to see vast numbers of retirements as a result of pension reform, or it's just the age-old, you know, factor, we're going to start to lose people, why not put a focused effort and focused recruitment effort on people within the CrossFit community? I mean, I'm telling you, if I could get, you know, Iceland Annie on my fire department, man, I'm king, right? I'm king, because that's incredible. Well, why not reach out as the American Fire Service and put together recruitment efforts that focus on those types of people that have already those normative behaviors that we're trying to change in the fire service? I think it's totally doable. I think we can pull it off. I think it's necessary, and it's a sustainable measure. Now, pretty soon, say you hire 10 people and say, hey, oh, five of them happen to be level one certified. Well, you've saved yourself money, because not only are those people most likely not going to utilize a ton of sick leave, And I realize anybody can throw stones at what I'm saying, but I also believe that a lot of those people are also going to have fewer orthopedic injuries. I also believe that those people are going to be more physically fit longer into their career. They're going to have less likelihood of man-made diseases that are dealt with as a part of our health care that we pay for. But also, in addition, they're going to be higher-performing athletes on the fire ground, more efficient, and they're going to create a momentum within the organization that's going to be what? It's going to be one of a positive change. Because nobody, we're all type A competitive firefighters, so nobody's going to want to sit around and get stomped into the ground in the gym by some new person. There's going to be that level of competitive spirit. So these are some of the things that we should be talking about. A couple other things. Let's talk about firefighters and CrossFit affiliates. I was contacted, and I'm going to pull this email up because I want to make sure I get it right. I was contacted by a firefighter in the Northern California area, and they are opening up a new CrossFit affiliate in the city of Visalia, California, just south of Fresno. Sawtooth CrossFit in Visalia. Firefighter-owned, firefighter-operated. New affiliate in Visalia. You guys got to go check it out. Talk to Chris Huerta, H-U-E-R-T-A. We were trying to get Chris to call in today, but I think he's on duty. Sawtooth CrossFit in Visalia. If you're in Visalia, look them up, all right? The goal of the CrossFit for Fire community is to continue to help firefighter-owned affiliates get their word out, and we want to support them, because the more firefighters that we have CrossFitting, the more firefighters that we have engaged in the CrossFit community, the more firefighters that are affiliate owners and bringing that back to the fire stations, the better, more conditioned, more fit, healthier firefighters we're going to have in our fire service. We're going to reduce sick leave. We're going to reduce workers' compensation cost. We're going to reduce overall health care cost. And we are going to create a more sustained level of service into the future because of that. And maybe we won't be facing as many brownouts and blackouts and closures and layoffs, because we can show savings on the side of the area in which cities are spending unbelievable amounts of money. Okay, all we have to do is make it a priority, and we can do that. Lastly, is the idea and the concept that I talked about a little bit earlier. We're going to do kind of a shorter show today. We're only going an hour. And that is getting our CrossFit and our functional fitness and our health and conditioning power from the fire department out into our communities. I'm not telling you guys to violate rules, regulations, policies, procedures. I'm not telling you to do something that, you know, is going to get you in trouble. But you know what? If we can go to a local park during our 24-hour shift and we can engage some kids into a physical fitness activity, or maybe we don't even go to a park. Maybe we just go out, to the fire outside of our fire station and, you know, throw the basketball around with some local kids in our fire station. Or we see where we know where there's a group of kids that are gathering in an underserved, underprivileged area, and we go play a little bit of stickball with them or whatever the case may be. Guys, how hard is it to get out of the fire station and engage the community in a fitness activity that's going to make their life better? Remember, you know, life safety, incident stabilization, and property conservation is great. I get that. You know, I still want to cut holes in the roof. I still want to go through the door. I still want to fight fire. But we got to look at things a different way. We have to look at what? Health, education, and safety. That's the new business for us. The new business is that we are going to create healthier, more educated, safer communities through our active engagement and connection with those communities. And the only way we're going to do it is by reaching out to the community and saying, we are here to serve. What is it I can do for you? And listen. Just listen. What do you want from the fire department? Do you want me to just sit in the station and, you know, wait till the bay doors roll up and go out the door? Or do you want me out the door all the time, and the only time the bay doors come down is when what? Is when we're leaving to go on a run, when our incident, when our integrated risk management plan has completely broken down and we have to what? Respond. If we truly have an integrated risk management plan, part of it involves community health. And I think one of the best ways, you know, we could talk about shock clinics and well baby checks and, you know, all of this AED and hands-only CPR. But you know what? What are killing people? Obesity. Let's, as a fire service, take it upon ourselves to fight the obesity fight in our community and our children. Let's not only do it for ourselves, which is absolutely just killing us, but let's get out there as a fire service and let's fight the obesity fight that is killing the American public from a community health perspective, and let's do it one fire station at a time. You know, I wish I had the power, and I don't, but I wish I had the power to make every single fire station in America an affiliate. I don't know. Maybe that's a good idea. Maybe I'll call Coach Glassman and say, hey, listen, I got an idea. Now, I think that conversation would probably last about 30 seconds. He'd probably hang up on me. Maybe 15 seconds. He'd say, you're cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. But what if we made every fire station in America an affiliate? And what if it was the goal of every affiliate fire station in America to create a healthier environment, to create a healthier environment in their community? Think about the power of that, gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen. Think about the power of that. Maybe that should be our charge in 2013. Maybe our charge should be to create affiliate fire stations in our community whose main goal is to fight obesity in the community. I don't know. I'd love to do it, and I'd love to hear from you. Guys, we're going to call it a short one today. I got to take care of some family stuff. I always love talking to everybody. Give me a call. Send me an email. Tell me what you think. Once again, we have to thank Chief Bobby Halton. We have to thank Penwell Publishing and Fire Engineering Magazine. This show cannot go on without them. We appreciate it. We appreciate all they do. Chief Bobby Halton, thank you for everything, sir. You're a living legend. To Coach Greg Glassman from CrossFit, without you, this show wouldn't exist. Sir, thank you very much for all you do and all you continue to do. And for everybody out there who's challenging themselves every day to become healthier, better conditioned, fitter, and are struggling, I am here with you. I will do whatever I can to help you achieve that goal. Just reach out and ask. As my good friend, Timmy Alameda, says, I'll see you on the radio.